Well, you happen to be in church this morning?
Amen.
How many is ready to have church this morning? Yeah. I don't want to just be here. I want to be a part of it. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
We appreciate the opportunity. Brother Tony asked us to come up and said he'd been kind of sick and his throat, his voice wasn't all the way back to 100%. So we was glad we was able to come in, and we've been thinking about y'all for a couple weeks anyhow. So the Lord just worked it out. Praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
Amen. If we could, let's go ahead and get started in the Word this morning. We don't want to take up too much of your time, but we have a thought we'd like to kind of try to finish. As an evangelist, it's sometimes hard to finish your thoughts, especially if you get on what Brother Brandon used to call a rabbit trail from there. So, but that's all right. The Holy Spirit leads as He sees fit. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Let's start with the book of Joshua, the first chapter, and we'll go through the first through the ninth verse. We've been on a little journey in the book of Joshua for the past couple of months now, and I'm sure my wife's getting tired of me ministering it, but we just see fit to keep going back there, so that's what we're going to do this morning. Joshua 1:1 says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it come to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying..." So these are the events that are going to take place after the death of the prophet.
Yes.
Amen. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." Notice he said, "that have I given." Not that I do give or I will give, but it's a past tense word, "have already given unto you. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. And there shall not any man be able to stand there for thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from thee to the right nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage." That's twice the Lord has told Joshua this.
Yes.
"Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Amen. If we jump over to Joel, the second chapter real quick, the 23rd verse, starting, and just read down a few scriptures. They want to talk to you today, this morning, on the age of the overcomer. The age of the overcomer. Joel 2:23 says, "Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and will cause to come down for you the rain, the former and the latter rain, in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil, and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you." So what's he going to restore? He's going to restore the great army. Amen. "And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that thou hast dwelt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed."
Amen.
"And it shall come to pass afterwards..." Notice he's still in a restoration process. "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids In those days will I pour out my spirit. Well, you might say, well, Brother Jason, I thought that scripture was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, because that's the same scripture that Peter came out and said, this is that was spoken of by Joel. And no doubt these portions of scriptures that we just read were fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. But notice the Lord said, I will restore. So the great army has to get back out to the pouring out of the Spirit. Amen?
Yeah.
If we would, let's just bow our hearts before the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for all you have brought to us this day and all you've done for us. And we just ask, dear Father, that we get ourselves out of the way now, dear Lord. We just pray that you'll come over and take preeminence of this body once again, dear Lord. And we just ask that you'll sweep among this congregation, Father. As the prophet said, in so much, dear Lord, that there would be not even a shadow of a doubt in here, dear Father. Not even one speck to where your spirit can come down, dear Lord. And whatever anybody has need of in here this morning, we ask that they may not leave here without receiving it, dear Father. And we just ask that you'll send your angels to camp around the corners of this building, dear Lord, and keep us safe and shielded from all unbelief and all evil spirits, dear Father, that your children may be able to feast upon your word, dear Lord, this morning. And we thank you, dear God, for all the blessings you bestowed upon us this week and all the many wonderful things you've done for us, dear Lord. And we just ask, dear Father, that you'll grant it to us one more time this morning, dear Lord, and open the eyes of our hearts, dear Lord, as the song says, that we may be able to see ourselves in your word, dear Father. And we ask these things in your precious name. And the church said,
amen.
You may be seated. Amen. We get our thought from the adoption series in the first message, Brother Branham said. He said, now the book of Ephesians, as I was just saying, to my opinion, it was one of the greatest books of the New Testament. It leaves off where Calvinism runs out on a limb and Arminianism runs out on the other limb, but the book of Ephesians draws it together and it positionally places the church. He says, now I've typed it with Joshua. If you notice, Israel was brought out of Egypt and there's three stages of their journey. One stage was leaving Egypt, the next stage was the wilderness, and the next stage was Canaan. Now Canaan does not represent the age of the millennium, Brother Branham says. What he's doing, what he's saying in the statement is he's actually correcting himself, because years earlier, if you go back in the message and you listen to, let's say, the great warrior Joshua in 1955, Brother Branham actually says that Canaan types the millennium, how we crossed over our earthly journey into our new bodies and we're living in the millennium. But he's correcting himself right here and he's saying now Canaan does not represent the age of the millennium. It only represents the age of the overcomer, he says. The dispensation of overcoming, because in Canaan they killed and burned and took cities, and there'll be no death in the millennium. But another thing that it does, it brings up justification by faith after they believed in Moses and left Egypt, sanctification through following under the pillar of fire and the atonement of the sacrificial lamb in the wilderness, and then entering into a land that had been promised. Now, what is the promised land to the New Testament believer, he says? The promise is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For it shall come to pass in the last days, Joel 2:28, he quotes, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and upon my handmaidens and upon my maidservants shall I pour out my spirit, and it shall prophesy. I'll show wonders in the heaven above and in the earth and the pillars of smoke and vapor. And Peter said on the day of Pentecost, after taking this text and preaching, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission, to remit, to forgive, to take away all trespasses. So Canaan is the Holy Spirit for our day. Amen.
Right.
And the children of Israel, before they could ever cross into the promised land, or before they could ever cross into their inheritance, they had to get back to the promise.
Right.
Amen? Amen? Before they could cross into their inheritance. What was the promise? The promise was a prophet. Moses was the prophet to the children of Israel. Moses was supposed to be the one that ushered the children of Israel on into the land of Canaan. Amen? But we know, because of murmuring and unbelief and so forth, that Moses wasn't able to do that. But they had to get restored back to the promise before they could ever get back to their inheritance. Our promise in our day is a Malachi 4. Amen? We had to get to a Malachi 4 before we could get to an inheritance of a full Holy Spirit. a full manifestation of the Holy Ghost in our day. Yep. See, all throughout the church ages, starting at the day of Pentecost, you know, we understand that the God poured out His Spirit upon all flesh, as Peter said, and the church was pure starting out on the day of Pentecost when they come out of that upper room. The church was unadulterated. It wasn't ran by any kind of a man. It wasn't ran by any kind of a thought or a theology. It was the way God wanted the church to be.
Yeah.
It was led solely by completely 100% by the Holy Spirit, and that's what God wants. He wants to have preeminence in His church. But we understand that if you read in the book of Revelations that the first church of the Ephesian church age, it says that they lost their first love.
Right.
They got away from their first love. Or let's put it to you like this. They got away from the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. See, they still had a portion of the Holy Spirit, but they didn't have the fullness. They got away from the true love of their heart. See, a lot of people think the first church, or the church fell, and no doubt Brother Brandon said that they went into the ground in 325 A.D. when they changed the deity of Jesus Christ. That's when they went into the ground. But the church actually fell in the Ephesian church age. To get to where they accepted the deity of Jesus Christ being changed, they had to have a fall back here that led them into coming into position to where they could actually fall and go to the ground. Amen. So we understand that through the 2,000 years of the Gentile dispensation, through what we call the seven church ages in the book of Revelations, we understand that it comes up to the Martin Luther age, and also through those 7,000 years, there was four anointings that come down to combat the four horse riders of the book of Revelations. We understand that. Just kind of building the foundation, if you'll give me just a few minutes and bear with me a little bit. Anyway, if we come up to the Martin Luther age, we understand the anointing for that age was the face of a man. And the prophet tells us that face of a man, what that meant was that was going to be an intellectual age. Those men were going to be very smart, very intellectual. No doubt that those men forgot more than all of us will ever know put together about the Bible, about the Word, about the history, and so forth like that. And Martin Luther comes, and we understand he gets under anointing, and he sees justification by faith in the Scriptures, and nails up I can't remember how many page theses on the Catholic door, and he comes out of the Catholic Church, but he's still got his... Still believing in Trinity, still baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, still have all these things. So he takes a portion of truth that he's seen, but what he does, Martin Luther, we know he was a reformer. So he just reforms that into what he thinks he should be. Amen? And so they go on with Martin Luther, and no doubt up comes John Wesley with sanctification and, you know, living a sanctified life, being cleansed by the Holy Spirit. But he still believed in Trinity doctrine, still baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, because there had not been a restoration yet back to the one true living God. So what does John Wesley do? He comes out and he takes the portion of the truth that Martin Luther had, and he takes his sanctification and mixes it with it, but he reforms it into what he thinks it should be. Same thing with Calvin, with Knox, with Finney. All the men that lived through that that dispensation of time that were under the anointing of the man's face anointing. Amen? Through the seven church ages. So what were they doing? They were nothing but reformers. And if you go back and study the Reformation age, all it was a great big combative age where they would fight doctrine against doctrine. And they would fight Scripture against Scripture. And they were always arguing and always fussing. And, you know, this one was smarter than this one. It was all about how much you do and so forth like that. And, you know, the Scripture tells us that God once winked at ignorance. So that was fine for their day. But we come up to 1906. We understand that 1906 was a restoration of the gifts. But it was not a restoration of the Spirit. It was not a restoration of the fullness of the Holy Ghost. See, 1906, we're still under that dispensation of a man face anointing. We haven't entered into that flying eagle anointing yet. So 1906, you know, Brother Brennan even said, you know, that's what we call the Pentecostal age. And he said, you know, it started out fine. Everybody's seen that. And with the Azusa Street Revival that lasted 7 years. And everybody's seen that. And no doubt everybody thought, well, this is the restoration. This is what's going to turn our hearts back to the Gentile dispensation. But what did the Pentecostal age do? They took the gifts, the truth that God had revealed to them in that day, and they reformed it into what they thought it should be. And we understand that Brother Branham said, you know, once a man denominates around the Word of God, God leaves it. He's no longer in that any longer. Because you can't put a period after the Word of God. So we come up to where we it seems we have no hope. You know, we had two ages of Reformation and ushering into the age of Restoration. You know, we had 1906 and that was a lap-over period. Brother Branham said in the sixth church age, he said that was actually a lap-over period getting into the seventh church age. But we're coming up to the waters of Canaan. The bank of Canaan. We're looking, but we need somebody to take us over. We have to have some, so we come up to where we have a restoration, to where we got to get back to the promise of Malachi 4, as we said a minute ago. Because it takes a Malachi 4 to usher us into Canaan. Amen. Amen. Brother Branham said the end time evangelism, the end time evangelist message is from Malachi 4. It's a restoring, the message and the messenger. Both will have to be a restoration of the faith. Jude said in the book of Jude, about 30 years after the crucifixion, he said, "Brethren, I give all diligence to write unto you the common faith, that ye should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints back there." See, Malachi said for the last day, the last prophet of the Old Testament, that before the great and terrible day of the Lord shall come, I will send unto you Elijah the prophet. And he shall restore the faith of the children back to the fathers. Amen. The faith of the children back to the fathers just before the destruction time. He says, what is it? It's a message that goes forth, a message and a messenger in the last days. That's not to bring them to a creed, but to jerk them out of those creeds and to bring them back to the faith of the original fathers, the Pentecostal fathers, where the church is to be in the last days. Not the Mosaic fathers, but the Pentecostal fathers. And he's not talking about a 1906 restoration. We're talking about a getting back to the Ephesian church age restoration. Because if you notice in Joel the second chapter, verse 25 says, I will restore unto you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the pommel worm, my great army which I send unto you. So what's God going to send a restoration? What is the restoration? He's going to restore the years, the 2,000 years that this bug has been eating away at the bridegroom. You understand that? Amen. And Canaan was not something new for the children of Israel. It wasn't a new land. You might say, well, of course it was. You know, the children of Israel, they dwelt in Egypt for 440 years, and they come out of Egypt, and they dwelt another 40 years in the wilderness. So 480 years had it been since any one of the children of Israel had ever crossed into the land of Canaan. So why is it not a new land? Because their forefathers possessed Canaan. Amen? Their inheritance was not anything new. There was a time that they once possessed it. And our inheritance, it's not anything new as well, Brother Tony. Yeah. See, this isn't a new gospel, so to speak. Yeah. This isn't anything, we think we have this great message, and it is a wonderful message. It's a restoration message. It's the greatest message that's ever struck the face of the earth. Yeah. But it's not anything new. It's just an opening up of what was already there. Yeah. Just like the seven seals, you know, there was a time Brother Brandon preached the seven seals that were outside of the book. We're outside of the Bible. There was going to have to come a man that God would give these special revelations that were outside of the book to, and then he would present them to the people. But when he preached the seals, he realized they were already here. Yes. He just had to have the right light shine on them at the right angle to see them. Right. Amen? So there was a time that we once possessed the fullness of the Holy Spirit. There was a time that we once had the fullness. It was during the age of the Pentecostal fathers, not 1906. Amen. But we are living in an age of restoration, not of reformation. Reformers are extremely intelligent and corrected doctrine and so forth, as we already discussed. But they were never restored back to the Spirit. Right. To the Spirit. See, that's the age that we're living in now, is where we're not fussing. We shouldn't be fussing and complaining and arguing and upset all the time of, I got this doctrine, and Brother Tony, I just don't like the way he runs his church, and I don't like the song services he has, and I don't like this, and another pastor talking about another pastor, the way they run the church. That's Reformation mentality. That's not restoration. That's not getting back to the Spirit of the one true living God. To when we all get in one Spirit, we're in one mind and one accord. It doesn't matter. God will correct our doctrine. Amen. The prophet said, I'd
because you always think you're right.
That's right.
You'll never get that spirit. So it's not about doctrinal things all the time. It's to get to the spirit of the things. And God will lead us into all truth.
Amen.
Amen? But sometimes we get the cart before the horse. Like Brother Branham said, I'm afraid we're not getting people to Christ. We're getting them to a message. We're getting them to a mentality. We're getting them to a message theology, a way of thinking. We're passing out all these books and tracts, and God sent a prophet, and that's all fine and great because God did send a prophet in our day. But we're not living in the God sent a prophet age. We're living in the bride age right now. We're living in the restoration age. Why did God send that prophet? To restore our hearts back, to get back what they had at the beginning. When the church was pure, unadulterated, not touched by any man's thinking, not controlled by any one man organization, not in possessing all power. They had all power at Pentecost. Amen? But they were never restored back to the Spirit. But in order to get restored back to their original spirit, we needed a Malachi 4 and a Revelation 10:7. That was promised. Amen?
Amen?
Let me ask you this. What? Well, you might say, well, okay, Jason, well, what's the difference between us and them? Well, Brother Branham said we have what they had plus. And that plus is more understanding. It's more knowledge of, well, what is the more knowledge, Brother Jason? Okay, we had to have a lot of people. I'll just go ahead and read the quote before we get ahead of ourselves. But Brown sent a letter to see in church, and he said, now this messenger of Malachi 4 and Revelation 10:7 is going to do two things. According to Malachi 4, he will return the hearts of the children to the fathers. And two, he will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelation 10, which are the revelations contained under the seals. He said, it will be those divinely revealed mystery truths that literally turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. See, a lot of people in this message, they'll preach a way, well, you know, Brother Branham had the first two pulls up until 1963, and that's true, he said he did. And they say, well, that was the restoration period up until 1963. And then after 1963, at the opening of the Word, at the opening of the seals, and then God come down, and then that's when he revealed the seven thunders. See, he did the restoration, and then he revealed the seven thunders, but that's not what he said right here. He said it takes those thunders to have the restoration. Why is that? Because the first church fell. They got away from the first true one true love. Amen? That's what they said in the book of Revelation. So what is it? Even Paul said there's grievous wolves among you now. Grievous wolves are among you now. They didn't have the knowledge. They didn't have the opening of the Word in their day to keep the one true Spirit. They didn't have they didn't have any way to they had the fullness of the Spirit, but they didn't have no way to protect it. They didn't have no way to combat against it. They didn't have no way to hold on to it. So Satan come in like a grievous wolf. We understand it was the white horse rider. What is the seals? The first one was the white horse rider was an antichrist spirit, Brother Brandon said. Got into the church, every Bible, there's twins are born, Brother Branham said. At the day of Pentecost, that's when the church would come down. That's when the church was birthed. But it wasn't the only thing that was being birthed at that time. There was a white horse rider going out too. And they ride the same. The white horse rides right next to the pure, one true pure horse. Amen. They're both white horses, and the people didn't have the opening of the Word, Brother Tony. They didn't have the revelation of the seven seals. They didn't see how Satan got back into the church. They didn't see how through 2,000 years that Satan was going to rise up in a pope and rise up in a Roman Catholic church and deceive the whole world, it says. All whose names are known in the book of life will look into that image. That's what the Scripture says. They didn't have that. All they had was the pure spirit.
Yeah.
But in this age, that's why it would take those seven unknown thunders to turn our hearts back. Because we got to know where the church got off. Because
yeah.
Brother Brandon said, you got to get back on where you got off. And when you get off of your first love, you got to get back to your first love. But we didn't know where the church got off. That's why we had to have the revelation of the seven seals.
Yeah.
To turn our hearts back and show us where Satan got into the church and deceived the church. Amen.
Right.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
You love Him this morning.
Yes.
You might say, well, Brother Jason, you preach a little passionately on that. I do preach passionately on that. Why? Because I think we're living underneath our privileges. I think the bride of Jesus Christ, and we've been traveling, we've been gone almost for 2 months now. It hasn't been anything planned, but God has opened up the door to where we've been full-time preaching, evangelizing. We've been gone almost every weekend and Wednesday for the past two and a half months now. And God has opened up many, many, many different things, opened our eyes. You've traveled to church after church after church, and wonderful, wonderful groups of people. But you see the people are in pain. You see the people, you look out and they're in misery. You see the young people, they're on their phones texting during service, and they're writing notes, and they're twiddling their thumbs and rolling their eyes. They have no more love for God than anything that an ant has for a whatever.
Right.
The people are in need.
Right.
The bride of Jesus Christ is living under her privilege.
Yeah.
We don't have to be this way, is what I'm trying to say. We don't have to live with this depression, this anxiety that Satan puts upon us, this fear that he puts around us. We don't have to live with it. You think they lived with that in the first church age? Men who walked down the streets and people, they would put the people on the streets just so they could get healed in the apostles' shadows.
Right.
You think them men lived with that? I say no. I say no. I say we don't have to either.
Amen.
Right. Amen. So Malachi 4, that was promised to restore us back to Canaan. We're standing at the banks of Canaan, so to speak, spiritually wise. We've had our Malachi 4. He's led us on into the promised land. But it was all stuff that they had once possessed. It wasn't anything new. So what are some of the things that they were restored to back in Canaan? Joshua 5 tells us, starting at the 10th verse, says, "And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month, at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn." Why do they call it old corn? Because it wasn't new. This is the first time these people had eaten this corn, brother. So why was it called old corn? Because their ancestors had eaten. It wasn't anything new. "They had eaten of the old corn of the land at the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land that year." Now, remember, Brother Branham told us, he said, you are what you eat. Whatever you eat, whatever you partake, whatever you put into your mouth goes into your stomach, and it changes the molecular structure of the whatever it is, and it actually that whatever you eat becomes a part of who you are. So if these children of Israel were eating of the old corn that was in the land and the fruits of the land, wouldn't it be safe to say that they were starting to become a part of the promised land? Not just dwelling in the promised land, not just inhabiting the promised land, but they were actually becoming part of the promised land. Part of what they were fulfilling, the manifestation for their inheritance. Amen? The same should be said about us. If we were restored back to the fullness of the Holy Spirit, haven't we been restored to the fruits? Can't we eat on the fruits of this, old fruits of this new land? What are the fruits? Love. Joy. Joy. See what happens when you're in the land of Canaan? When you're in the Holy Spirit, Satan will come and fight you every day. And you'll be at work and no doubt he'll battle you and battle you and battle you. And your wife or your husband will be on you nonstop. And you'll just get to a place, I just can't take it anymore.
Yep.
I don't know what I'm doing, but you're in the new land. Go find you some joy. You can eat the joy. The joy will become part of who you are.
Amen.
I don't love my brother. Give some love. There's love in the land. Go get, rip you off a corn of love and eat it, and you'll be manifesting love. Peace. Peace. If there's one thing I see lacking around the people of God, it's peace.
That's right.
peace. Everybody's all worked up and anxious, and depression's one of the most number one things. People come to me, Brother Jason, I need prayer. What's wrong, brother? What's wrong, sister? I'm depressed. I'm depressed. I'm depressed. I'm depressed. Church service after church service after church service, we hear the same thing over and over and over again. Depression and anxiety and fear. What is it? No peace. There's no peace. But we're in the land. Then we can have the peace is right there. All we have to do is partake of it. Then the peace will become us. And we'll be manifesting the peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It's just like this. Remember in the book of Ruth, Boaz told his reapers, he said, leave handfuls of purpose. Leave handfuls of purpose. And through the church ages, that's what the Lord was doing. He was leaving a handful of purpose, just enough to get them by. Just enough to get them by. Those angels, those reapers were leaving just a handful of the word and just justification by faith and just sanctification and just a little handful of restoration of the gift. But when Ruth married Boaz, the land was hers. She could partake of whatever she wanted to. She didn't have to just have the handfuls. She could have all the land. And I say, we've been married to the King in this hour. The Canaan is our land. We can, whatever we want, we can partake. Even Joshua had the promise, wherever you see the sun go down, that's your land.
Right.
If you walk this way and the sun's still going, whatever you possess, that's still your land.
That's right.
Wherever you put your feet, that's yours.
That's right, brother.
If Joshua would have been in Egypt, he would have possessed Egypt.
That's right.
If Joshua would have went to the moon, he would have possessed the moon.
Right.
Wherever he put his feet, that's the possession that he had.
Amen.
That was his promise. And it wasn't just given to him. It wasn't just given to Moses. It was given to the children of Israel.
Right.
Amen. No more handfuls of purpose.
Right.
We don't live on just a little word, just a little word, just a little spirit, just a dip. Brother Graham said they had a dip of the Holy Ghost, but they didn't have the fullness. Well, what we call born again in this hour, we call it 100% born again. They didn't have that.
Yeah.
They just had enough to believe and it was okay. If they believed it was okay. If they believed it was okay. Well, this hour, if we believe, that ain't enough to get us. We have to be translated.
Amen.
We have to be transformed, conformed, not to this world, but be ye transformed by the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you this. You don't think Satan believes William Branham was a seven church age messenger? You don't think devils believe that he was a prophet of God? You think they're going to make it in a rapture? Absolutely not.
Right.
Why? Because they can't be transformed. Believing's just not enough in this hour. We have to be transformed.
Amen.
Amen. What else were they restored back to in the land of Canaan? They were restored back to the third pool. In the valley of Ajalon, Joshua 10 says, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, son, stand thou still. Upon Gibeon, and thou, moon, in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still. And listen. And the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hast not to go down the whole day. And there was no day like that before or after that the Lord hearkened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought with Israel. When that scripture was written, I believe that was true. I believe that was 100% true. But I believe the Lord has hearkened to a man's voice in this age. We've had a man that spoke squirrels into existence. Not once, but twice.
That's right.
We had a woman that was had need of her. Her heart's desire was to see her sons have salvation. And God hearkened to the voice of that sister. We had a man whose wife was dying with cancer. And God said, speak the word. Speak the word. And he spoke the word. And she got delivered of her cancer before the doctor even touched her with the knife.
Right.
So I say this scripture, there is a man in this hour, but all he did was just a first wave seed. That's what the ministry of Malachi 4 was. It was just a wave seed sowing. There's more coming. There's more coming, devils. Don't worry about him. There's a whole lot more coming. That's going to have a lot more manifestation than just what he had.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
But we got this mentality. Oh, we have the third pool. Oh, it's this great grand. Nobody's ever had it. Show me in the Bible where that's true. I just showed you what's the third pool is speaking the word. I just showed you in the Old Testament where Joshua stand the moon still and stand the sun still.
That's right. That's right.
You say, well, what about our day? That's fine. In the third chapter of the book of Acts, Peter and John went to the gate called Beautiful. There was a lame man standing there at the gate, been crippled his whole life, the scripture says. Peter and John walk up to him and he's begging. And he starts begging Peter and John for money. And what does Peter say? He says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. Stand on thy feet and walk. Yeah. And it says they helped him stand to his feet. And they went into the synagogue and he was praising God and testifying about the healing he had just received. It didn't say that they fasted. Oh, well, we got to fast real quick, brother. Hold on. Oh, no, that's not what it said.
Right.
It said they spoke the word.
Right.
And that man was healed.
That's right.
There's another instance in Peter went to Aeneas in Lydia. There was another crippled man there. And that's where Peter said, take up thy bed and walk.
Right.
And he took up his bed. And he walked. And the people around that heard it. And the next town over, which was in Joppa, there was a sister. It said that she was a sister, a believer who had passed away, Tabitha of Joppa.
Yep.
And she was laying there dead. And they went to Peter. And he come. And he knelt down. And he prayed. Then it said Peter stood up after he prayed. He turned to Tabitha and said, Tabitha, arise.
Yep.
And it said she raised from the dead. That's the power that we're supposed to possess.
Amen.
This is the power that we're supposed to get back to.
Right.
And men are preaching. They're starting to come up with teachings around this message. Oh, why? Because we're not seeing all this. So they're saying, well, Brother Tony, I think we might have got it. Oh, we've been restored back. See, now we've got to go past all that. Breaks the scripture.
Right.
Show me in the scripture where that. It said in Joel, that God would restore, then after the restoration, that's when the destruction comes. It doesn't say restore, then go past to this other level, this other plane up here to where, oh, we're totally, and we do have to be, they're taking things out of context. We do have to be separated from all unbelief. We do have to be separated from the world, but we're still living in this Laodicean age. What is it? It's a compound, because amidst of this Laodicean age, there's also a bright age that's going on within it.
Right.
It's not way up here, and we're just... If that's the case, let me ask you, brothers, this. Every time you go to Walmart, you have to turn your head. I do.
Right.
I'm still a man living in this Laodicean age.
Right.
I still got to turn my head.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
This is the power that we got to get back to. Another thing they had in Joshua, just trying to do a quick rundown. I'm making it quick, I promise. They had the possession of all things. Joshua 10:21 says, now this, Joshua 10 is the battle of Gibeon that we just read about, where Joshua spake to the moon and the sun and told them to stand still. And the whole reason they were in a battle is because there arose five kings that come against the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel started putting a whooping on these five kings, it wasn't just the kings, it was their whole armies. There was five of them, brother. And one little group of children of Israel was putting a whooping on all five of these kingdoms.
Yeah.
Guess what the leaders, the kings, did? They took off running.
Yeah.
Scripture says they ran and they hid in a cave.
Yeah.
Why? Because that's what Satan does.
That's right.
Every single time. That's what the enemy does. If we have any open caves in our life, Say somebody comes forward and, well, I want to get delivered of this or get delivered of that or whatever. And we pray and that person is earnest. And no doubt that devil, he'll have to flee. But if there's a cave somewhere, a lot of times he'll go. He'll hide in that cave. He'll roll the stone over you and go away. Say a few months down the road, say, Sister Susie, she ain't praying like she should. She's not reading her Bible like she should. Guess what? That old devil will peek his eyes out. Yeah, she's not doing what she should. There's not the protection that she had before. And he'll slowly start getting out of the cave.
That's right.
And the next thing you know, you're doing right back the thing you did the first time. And then we want to blame God, Brother Tony. Well, God didn't deliver me, or God didn't do this, or the preacher didn't do this, or this, or that, or whatever the reason, when the only reason is because you had the cave in your life. You had that little portion of uncleanness. You had that little bitty sin that you were holding on to, and that's where that devil went right back to every single time. Because the prophet said, if you're sick, or you want to receive the Holy Ghost, he said, we can pour 5 gallons of oil on you, but unconfessed sin,
yep,
Satan has a right to stay there.
That's right.
Any unconfessed sin, Satan will go back to that every time and wait. Oh, she's not reading. She's not praying. And he'll start creeping back out. And you'll get prayer. Guess what he'll do? Run right back to the unconfessed sin.
That's right.
But if you get that straightened out, then he has no caves, Brother Tony. He has no hiding place. If we get the unconfessed sin out, there's no place for him to run. He's like, what am I going to do? Oh, I got to leave. And he's gone forever then. That's what the enemy does every time, is go hide in the cave. And that's what these five kings did. And Joshua and all the people returned to the camp to Joshua of Mount Makeda in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Excuse me. Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings out to me, out from the cave. And they did so, and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it come to pass, when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him. How many is going with Joshua tonight?
Amen.
Or this morning?
Hallelujah.
How many's fighting right alongside of Joshua? Remember, Joshua types the Holy Spirit. Joshua types Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Those men that were beside him, well, look at the privilege that they got. It said, of the men of war which went with him, he said, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. Because remember, Joshua had a promise. Wherever the sole of your foot is,
yep,
that's what you shall possess.
Amen.
Come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, neither be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies who ye shall fight.
Amen.
Every single time, God put them underneath the feet of the children of Israel. Amen. So it was a type of possessing all things. And that's what we've been restored back to in this hour. To where we can possess all things. Because it says in Romans 16:20, surely the God of peace shall put Satan underneath your feet.
Right.
Quickly. Quickly. That's what happens when we get a restoration. We get restored back to everything they had. All that was in the land we have possession of now. We have a right to claim it. And Brother Brennan said, in the restoration of the bride tree, not only do we have a right to claim it, we have a right to enforce it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
as we bring it to a close, Joshua 14:6 says, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua and Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him." Remember, Caleb ties the Gentiles. Amen. Does everybody know that? Caleb ties the Gentile. "Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land." I come up with this little I believe the Lord gave it to me the other day. I was talking to the brothers about it a little bit last night. It says, Caleb said he was 40 years old when they went and spied the land. Abraham had a prophecy that the children of Israel would dwell in a land that wasn't theirs for 400 years. The promise was for 400 years. They dwelt 440 years. All Bible readers know that. Brother Branham said the reason they had to go the extra 40 years was because at the 400-year mark, they weren't ready to go. They weren't crying and sighing for a deliverer to come. 440 years, there rose up a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. They started crying and sighing when the pressure come. Amen? And God sent them to deliver Moses. Well, Caleb, God said that, or Brother Branham said that God will always have somebody who believes His Word. There will always be somebody on the earth who is a standard for the Word of God. Amen? Caleb said he was 40 years old when they went and spied the land. They were in the Promised Land for 6 years before they went and spied it. That means that Caleb wasn't born until the 440-year dispensation. He wasn't born at the 400-year mark. If the children of Israel would have left at 400 years, they would have all perished in the wilderness. God did not have somebody that was going to overcome until Caleb and Joshua. And I say the same thing. A lot of people take, you know, Brother Branham said, well, you know, Brother Branham said he seen it couldn't go past, this rapture couldn't go past 1977. And, you know, that's just what he prophesied. He predicted, he didn't prophesy. I say this. What if we were supposed to get out of here in 1977? But we wasn't ready. See, I wasn't born until 1981. And I tied Caleb. I'm the overcomer in this age. I'm just as much a part of this as William Branham is. I'm just as much a part of this as Paul is. I'm just as much a part of this as Jesus Christ Himself is. Amen. When was you born, brother? 83. Brother born 1983. We couldn't win because he wasn't ready. He wasn't even born yet. When'd you come to the message? 92. Couldn't win in 77 because he wasn't even in the message yet. True. Right. True. Amen. God said, Brother Branham said that God will always have. I'm not saying anybody before 1981 or whatever didn't believe, but I know I believe.
Yeah.
And I know we couldn't win in 77 because I wasn't ready yet. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anyway, this is something the Lord gave me the other day. Spot the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Now look what the land of Canaan did for Caleb. It says, "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." This is Caleb speaking to Joshua. "And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land thereon thy feet hath trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as old this day as I was the day that Moses sent me," "As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength was then, even so is my strength now." 45 years, he never lost faith.
Yeah.
45 years, Caleb never wanted to throw up his hands and say, "I quit."
Right.
This man is 85 years old and he's still fighting. He's saying, "I got as much fight in me today as I had when I was 40 years old."
Yeah.
This man Caleb, he's a type of the Gentile. He's showing you that there's peace in the land of Canaan. There's rest in the land of Canaan. You don't have to grow weary. Look, there's people that tell me all the time, Jason, I've been fighting this battle for many years, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. I'm getting weary. I'm getting tired and worn out. You don't have to.
Right.
There's peace.
Amen.
The Comforter is still here.
Amen.
He didn't leave. If you're weary and worn out this morning, get a little bit of the Comforter.
Yes.
That's what the land of Canaan does for you. Oh, praise God for that.
Yes.
He says, now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day that thou for thou heartest here heardest in that day how the Anakims were there and that the cities were great and fenced. And if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Excuse me. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron, the land Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And I like this. This is one of the most profound scriptures in all the Bible. And the name of Hebron therefore was Kirjath Arba, which was Arab, was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. You might say, well, that's an odd statement to make, that that's one of the most profound scriptures in all the Bible. Let me just read you a quote, and I'll tell you why. Brother Branham said, now notice in How Can I Overcome, 1963, he said, notice, in John the Baptist's time, in the time of John the Baptist, there were six that had overcome. All ages, they've had overcomers, he said. In John's time, they had six. Joseph and Mary, Zacharias and Elizabeth,
yep.
Simeon and Anna.
Right.
He says, a man and a woman. A man and a woman. A man and a woman. He says, see, it's a type of Christ and the church. Christ and the church. Christ and the church. Amen?
Right.
So, the Greek, the Hebrew word for Kirjath Arba, the city which Caleb possessed, the Gentile, it means a city of four. You say, well, why do they call it the city of four? It's because it's a burial place. They say Adam, the original Adam was buried there. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Four. The four fathers of faith, so to speak. Adam, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But there's four more that were buried there too, Brother Tony. Eve was buried there. Sarah was buried there. Rebecca and Leah. You say, well, why don't they add that? Why don't they say the city of eight? Because it's a type of the Jesus Christ. Church. Christ and the church. See, whatever the men are counted for, whatever the husband is counted for, the wife is counted for as well.
Right.
If he was counted for destroying all sin at Calvary, I was counted for that, Brother Daniel.
Amen.
If he was counted for the resurrection, I can be counted for that.
Amen.
If he was counted for the day of Pentecost, coming out and pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh, Kirjath Arba. That's the land of our inheritance, to where whatever the husbandman is counted as, the wife is counted as the same. It's showing that they're equal.
Amen.
Christ and the church have become one again. That's the restoration we've gotten back to. That's what failed in the early church. Brother Graham said that was a bride. That was the bride that ran out of that upper room at the day of Pentecost. That was God's bride that ran out there, and people thought they were drunk. But they didn't have no knowledge at all. They just had the fullness of the Spirit, Brother Tony. He said, what do we do? Let's just go out and preach the gospel like he said. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And that's what they did. But Satan crept in. They had no way to combat it, Brother Daniel. They didn't know how to. They didn't know what was going on, and Satan got in and he destroyed the church. But he didn't realize she was a seed. That church was a seed. And then when you put her in the ground, you give her the right amount of water, the right amount of sunlight, she's going to grow up again. And that's what we've been restored back to where we have the combativeness to fight the saint in this hour. We can look and say, you're not getting the Antichrist spirit in here. You're not getting that black horse rider in here. Because say, your brother Branham said that the horse riders or the horses ride all the way through the church ages.
Yeah.
All the way down to this age. We have the way to combat Satan. So we have the restoration and the way to combat it. The fullness of the Spirit and the fullness of the Word, Brother Tony.
Yeah.
What more can we ask for?
Yeah.
What more can we ask for? You young people, you don't know how good y'all have it. You don't know. All through 2,000 years, young people have been rising up. They had to give their life for it. They had to be sacrificed. And watch their mamas and their daddies and their brothers and their sisters be tormented and heads cut off and tortured. But you know how to combat it in this hour. You have the Holy Spirit that will come down and fight your battles for you. You have the knowledge of the Word to know this isn't right. And this isn't right. We know to steer away from the Catholic Church. We know to steer away from denominationalism. We know to steer away from this and steer away from that and steer away from this so we can walk straight down the line and go on into the rapture like the first church should have.
Yeah, right.
And it's time. We were talking last night. Do you know the magnitude of the events that are supposed to take place next month? Next month, the Pope coming to America.
Right.
We got a blood moon that's supposed to happen next month. Brother showed me a video called Isaiah 9:16 prophecy, to where every 7 years after 9/11 struck, every 7 years there's always been a collapse in the economy, and our economy's on the verge right now of collapsing.
Yeah.
What's going to push it over next month? I believe something's going to happen. You young people, I tell you right now, if you only got the Holy Ghost, you better get down and get it and not get up. Be like the old cornfield people, the old Pentecostals. They had something in 1906. They didn't have the fullness, but they had enough to know that you would say, I'm going after the cornfield, and if I don't get the Holy Ghost, they're going to find my bones here, Brother Tony.
Yeah.
What was it? They had a desperation, something inside of them. I want to be born again more than anything.
Yeah.
I'm tired of the way I am. And as soon as you get that desperation, get down on your knees and God will meet you there every time.
Amen.
Right. Every single time. All he's looking for is a sincere heart. That's all he wants.
Right.
The church has kicked him out. Most message churches have kicked him out. All they want is the theology and the revelations and all this. They don't want to have nothing to do with the Spirit any longer.
Yeah, right.
But this isn't a Reformation age. This is the flying eagle age, to where we can fly. High above all denominationalism, high above all theology, we can soar in the heavenlies with the Spirit of God.
Right.
Oh God, if you don't have it tonight, don't you see your inheritance? Don't you see your possession? Everything you have need of is in this land. Everything. It don't matter if you took one step in the bank or you're smack dab in the middle of Canaan. You're still in the land.
Amen.
It don't matter. You're still in the land. If you just crossed over Jordan one step, you're in Canaan. If you're in the middle of Canaan, you're in Canaan.
Yeah.
You're still in Canaan.
Right.
You can't get no more in Canaan unless you're in Canaan.
Yeah.
Now you can get positionally placed in Canaan. Amen.
Right.
Well, other Brother Branham said either you're in or you're out.
Right.
It's black and white in our day.
That's right.
There is no greatness in our hour. There is no, oh, well, I'm in today and I'll be a sinner. Where they say the old saying, I'll be a sinner on Saturday and saint on Sunday. That don't fly in our hour.
No.
That God once winked at ignorance.
Yeah.
God once winked at John Wesley. God once winked at Martin Luther. God once winked all through the church ages. God once winked when Martin Luther himself said that the Jews were antichrist. God once winked at Irenaeus when Irenaeus said apostasy was the preaching of the serpent seed. Did you know that? Irenaeus said apostasy was the preaching of the serpent seed. God winked at that. God winked all through. There is no winking. There is no weak. He's looking full view right now.
Yeah.
Full view. And you're not going to get away with nothing.
That's right.
Oh, we got to get all sin out of our lives. Anything that's unlike God, we got to get out of our lives and get back to the one true living God. Get back to the Spirit of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Where He has preeminence. Everybody thinks, oh, you preach on getting back to Pentecost. Oh, you're just a fanatic. If that's the case, I'm a fanatic for Jesus.
Amen.
I ain't preaching on just shouting, just speaking in tongues. That has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, right.
Although those things come along with it.
Yeah, right.
That's what the prophet said.
Sure.
I've got a quote to say that. But that's not all. I'm talking about getting back to where we're led. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. We're led solely by the Holy Spirit. We hear that still small voice speaking to us. Go pray for that cash register in Walmart.
Yep.
And you walk by, you're like, oh, I just felt led to go pray for that person. And you walk up to that person, you start talking to them. And they say, yeah, my mama just died. I need somebody to pray for me. Nobody knows how to pray anymore. And you go pray for that person. You help them get closer to God. That's being led by the Spirit of God. Helping people that are in need. Amen. We're living in a dying world. There's people dying everywhere out there. Praise the Lord. As musicians come, I got one last quote I'd like to read. In the Church Age book, Brother Graham says, now we know exactly from the word which was recorded by the Holy Spirit how the first or original church was founded and how God manifested himself in her. Not in it, in her. The word cannot change or be changed because the word is God. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take his part out of the book of life, he's quoting scripture, and out of the holy city from the things that are written in this book. Thus, what the church was at Pentecost is the standard. I heard it just today. I got to suffer there. I heard it just today. He was talking about in the restoration of the bride for yesterday. Excuse me. Brother Brandon said he was talking about those old apostles, Brother Daniel.
Yeah.
He said there wasn't no grief among them. There wasn't no bitterness, no hate, Brother Tony. There wasn't no turmoil. They wasn't fighting and arguing and all. I know this quote says this. No, it means this. There wasn't none of that.
No.
They got on one heart, one accord, Brother Tony. Then the Holy Spirit could come, and he couldn't come until they got to that pinnacle.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit couldn't come until they got to that place. There was no grievance between them. It was just love for one another. Just wait on the Holy Spirit, Brother Daniel. And that's what we got to do. Just wait on it.
Yeah.
Just wait on it. I don't care if you wait right here, if you wait right there, wherever it is. Just when you get down, when you're ready to receive it, just wait on him. He'll be there every single time. He says, thus what the church was at Pentecost is a standard. That is the pattern. There is no other pattern, he says. No matter what the scholars say, God has not, that was a capital N-O-T, God has not changed that pattern. What God did in the upper room, he has to keep doing until the church ages close. Same pattern. Same pattern. Same love. That's what they got away from was the first love, Brother Daniel.
Yes.
And that's what we've got to get restored back to.
Amen.
I was telling Brother Daniel last night, you know, we preach a restoration age and no doubt we're in it. That's what we preached on this morning. But I don't believe we've come to the fullness of that yet. I don't believe the church of the living God has come to the fullness to where we have everything they had. Everything they had. Whatever they had need of, it was given to them.
Amen.
Amen. Stay with me this morning, if you would. You know that song, In His Presence, That's Where I'm Strong? Praise the Lord. Play something, brother. I don't know. Hear the song later on me. You know where it goes good. Excuse me. Every head bowed and every heart bowed to the Lord this morning. I just want to say it's good to see our sister here this morning. It's good to see you here. Last time I was here, I'm going to give a little testimony. The last time I was here, we were sitting in Brother Tony's living room. And the Holy Spirit come down. And me and Brother Tony was talking, and he said something about his sister, and I said, yeah, no. He said, no, I'm not talking about that sister. And Holy Spirit come upon us, and I raised up my hand, and I said, stop right there, Brother Tony. I said, I know you're not talking about her, but I'm talking about that sister, Bernadine. I said, she will be back in church. She's a true daughter of God. She believes this message with all of her heart. A week and a half later, Brother Tony sent me a text and said, guess what happened last night? It was on a Thursday morning. He said she'd come back. And she was sorry she ever left. And oh God, God knows my heart. I was mowing the lawn. I just started screaming and shouting and running around praising God for our sister. The first time we ever preached for y'all here, I seen our sister. I knew she's been tormented by the devil, and we've prayed for her ever since, but I know there's a seed of God inside of her. And the Holy Spirit vindicated in Brother Tony's living room. He'll stand witness to it. I don't believe that she's the only seed of God here. I don't believe me or Brother Tony or Brother Daniel or anybody's the only seed of God. There's many of them here this morning. And maybe you're being tormented by Satan. Maybe you're being struck by depression or anxiety. You're just being tormented day and night by the devil. I say there's relief in Canaan. There's relief in the promised land this morning. There's relief in your inheritance. God's given you the land already. All you got to do is possess it, friends. All you got to do is lay claim to it and enforce it and say, this is my land. I have a right to this joy. I have a right to this peace. I have a right to this long suffering. Oh, maybe if you just want to lift your hand up to God. Maybe if there's just something in your heart that you just want to let go once again. Oh, let's just lift up our hands. Oh, let's just go into prayer to Him. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, dear Lord. Oh, Father God, we pray for Your children here this morning, dear God. Oh, we go to church after church, dear Lord. We see how the Satan is just battling the church so much. Oh, it's going to get darkest before the dawn, dear God. We know it has to come to a place where the pressure is so great to where only the true seed and son and daughter of God will stand, dear God. Oh, Father, we just pray that You'll give them a little comfort. Open up their hearts and let them see what they have need of, dear Lord. And let them be able to possess it, dear God. Everything we have need of is in that Holy Spirit, dear Lord. You've given it all to us, dear Father. You've poured out Your Spirit once again upon all flesh, dear Lord. Let us not take it in vain. Let us take it, use it, and apply it to our life, dear Lord. And let You lead us and guide us in all truth, dear Father, however You see it, dear Lord. Oh, we love You and we thank You, dear Lord. We thank You for bringing our sister back this morning, dear God. Oh, You know the hours. You know the waking up in the middle of the nights we went through just to pray for her. You put her on our heart, dear Lord. Oh, that's what sons of God do, dear Father. That's what daughters do, dear Lord. They pray for one another, dear Lord. Oh, Father, let us always be reverent to that still small voice and be able to hear Your Father speak to us in our life. Grant these things, we pray, dear Lord. We ask it in Your name. If there's anybody that needs prayer this morning, we'd be happy to pray with you. We don't have any gift at all. We don't claim to be a preacher of any kind. We're just doing what we feel led in the Spirit of God to do this morning. Do you love Him this morning?
Burning to me, I'm burning. say, you've been this for me.
Amen.
It was a land that was flowing with milk and honey.
Yes, sir.
And we've talked about it many times in the past. But I don't think the Lord could have picked any easier phrase to say that would have meant so much. Because when you say a land flowing with milk and honey, you realize what it takes to have a land that is flowing with milk and flowing with honey. Basically, that means that there was nothing lacking. Anything and everything that the children of Israel needed was in that land in order for it to be a land that flowed with milk and honey. All the cattle, all the land, all the water, all the nutrients, all the everything. And you see, that's a type. What Brother Jason is sharing with us this morning, you know, there was coming out of, we're in an Exodus now, we're in a third Exodus, and coming out of Egypt and going into the promised land was two parts, coming out, going into. And I don't think any of us can say we haven't come out of denomination, come out of her, my people. We've all been influenced by a message to know to come out of those teachings of denominational things and all that. But you see, there's a going into still in. And that going into is a body change because we're leaving, we're coming out, and we're going into the land of the living, right? In this Exodus. So the completion of this cycle, of this Joshua ministry, is to give us a body change. To give us, and to take us into this place where everything we need. I know it's a type of our experience in the Holy Ghost now, but we get now what we're going to have there, right? Death doesn't change us. And so that's what he's talking about. And I realize it with a greater realization this morning, perhaps more than ever before, is that that's where we're at right now. That's what God's waiting on. He has so thoroughly promised to us and shown us what's there for us. But the one thing that had to be there with the children of Israel is they had to go in and possess it. They had to show. They couldn't sit there any longer. They had to show, you know what? God has promised it. It's there. And I'm going to go get it. And as long as they sit there and they do nothing, see, they didn't possess it. So that's the thing. And now I realize that more and more now that's what it is. You and I are living in an hour that wants to make us so lazy to where we don't do anything. We don't do anything for God and we don't go and possess. And every one of us have trials. Every one of us have sorrows in our life of things that we know we should be possessing right now that we don't possess just yet. And I'm going to tell you that the thing that's between us and possessing that which is on your heart is getting up out of our seat and showing the Lord that we really believe the promise He's given us, that we will have it. And like our brother was saying, wherever we want to go put our feet, wherever you want to walk, God has given that to you. There's not another people on the face of the earth that's going to have the privilege that you have as the bride of Christ. So whatever your need is, or wherever you need to go, whatever you need to possess, it doesn't matter what direction it is. It might be finances, it might be your home, it might be your children, it might be a friend. It might be medical needs in your body. It doesn't matter what it is.
Right.
Wherever you need to walk, you just walk it because God says, I've given it to you.
Yeah.
Right? And in that place where you're going to walk, it's a land flowing of milk and honey, and you can have everything you need, but you're going to have to go possess it. Amen? And that's where we are right now. Each one of us is in that hour where we got to rise up and go possess it. So it truly is a Joshua and Caleb hour. Amen. It truly is a time where we need to do that. So we want to get up and we want to go walk. We just want to go and possess what God's given us. Just don't hold back anymore. Just go get it. Put your feet, go out there. And when Satan rises up against you, you go put your foot on the back of his neck. This is what the scripture's saying. He promised that as you go forward and you take this that belongs to you, that every enemy that you come to, every last one of them, we were talking about this last night, if you've got a person laying on the ground and you put your foot on the back of their neck, that person has got to be convinced that, you know what? I am at total, complete mercy of this guy that's got his foot on my neck. I cannot get away from this man. If he wants to do me in, I'm done for. Because he is in total, I am totally submitted to him now because he's got his foot. Because if that man's laying on the ground like that, he's not going to get away from you very easy. You know what I'm saying? And so he said, you go out and put your foot on the back of their necks. And that's what God is telling us today. We can actually do this. You have a heartache in your home with your children, you can actually go and you can put your foot on the back of the neck of that enemy. Says the message, says the word. But it'll never happen until we realize and decide, you know what, this is mine. I'm going to have this. I'll have it this day. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to come to that determination. And so I think that a lot of it has to do with just how easy it is here in Laodicea. But I believe that shortly a lot of those things that keep people busy and keep them occupied, I think a lot of those things are going to disappear pretty soon. And you know what? I find myself quite often nowadays saying, Lord, go ahead and do it.
Yes, sir.
Things that I know is going to make it less comfortable for me. But I find myself saying, Lord, go ahead and do it. Because it really, it's a real burden on my heart. When I see people when they should be way out there believing and getting hold of God and things happening in their life, and they're not. They're too busy sitting back here just engulfed in the daily cares of life, including myself.
Yes, sir. Yes,
it's a real burden on my heart. I know that victory's got to come for God's people in this hour. And so we certainly know that the Lord's speaking to us this morning. So do you have a need this morning? You go out there and you meet that devil. And you remember that the Word of God says, and a vindicated prophet has come along and tied us to this phase of what's going on, that we are actually living in a time right now where God said you can have it all.
Amen.
You can have it all. He's not going to give you something that's contrary to His Word. But in the channel of the Word of what He has said is to be yours, you can have it, and you've got to go get it. And how many is going to do that? I mean, I want you to go home, and I want you to set your foot and your pathway toward an object of something that you need. And I want you to start fighting the devil. If it's time that you spend in prayer, if it's time that you spend with the Lord, whatever it is, if it's quality time with your family, whatever it is, I want you to set focus on that, and I want you to go battle with Satan.
Yes.
And I want you to face that with this promise. This is one enemy I'm going to fight today, and I'm going to go toward him. And God, you said I could put my foot on the back of his neck. And you go with that determination, and you see if God doesn't give you victory over that thing. And when that devil is underneath your feet and you've destroyed him,
all right,
right, then you turn around to the next one. So there's got to be one that's more important to you right now. There's got to be something that's burning in your heart that consumes your thoughts all the time to make you realize, you know what? You're just constantly consumed with the fact that you don't have that promise of God manifest in your life. You go after that enemy and see if God doesn't give you victory.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because I'm a firm believer in this. We should have joy in our lives.
Oh, yeah.
We should have peace and happiness. It don't make no difference what's going on in the world, what's going on, even with your own checkbook or whatever. You still have that promise that you can walk in the peace of God that passes all understanding.
Yes, sir.
These are things that belong to us. And the reason why we don't have them is because we have not gotten up and gone after them.
That's it.
And it'll never happen until we actually do it. I've said it many times. It's been a while since I've had it. But I've said, you know, God said, Brother, I'm talking about it, that chicken pecking its way out. And you can't go down there and help it. It has to do it itself. Because Brother Brown said, if you try to help it, you'll kill it.
Right.
And we've come to that hour where God has given you and told us everything that we need is right there, but He cannot take us and put us in that land. He's got to let us rise up in our own faith and determination and go possess it ourselves.
Amen, brother.
And that's where we're at. Amen. I mean, he's going to fight with the devil.
Oh, yes.
Amen. And you'll have victory. But you can't go into this at this battle looking for a way to retreat. You got things in your life that you've got to lay down, that you know you've got to lay down in order to get this victory. Then you've got to go into that, laying those things down totally, destroying. Be like Elisha and go back and burn, kill them oxen and burn that wood and them oxen that he was plowing with. Because we're Elisha. When Elijah called Elisha,
yes, sir.
That's what he did. You know what that meant? That meant that he couldn't go back. He was so determined. Right. I'm going to follow this voice of Elijah, and I'm not going to go back. I'm going to burn the bridges, and I'm not going to be able to go back and plow anymore.
Amen.
That's how determined we've got to be following God in this hour, what he's given us. And we're going to go, and we're going to burn any bridges that would allow us to even try to go back. So when you go fight this devil that you're looking at, if there's something that you know that's been a problem keeping you from doing that, and you know you've got to lay that down, you've got to go and fight that devil, destroy those things. Don't just leave them laying there on a shelf so that, well, you know, if it don't work, I'll come back to my little comfort zone.
Uh-oh. It didn't work.
Yeah. You got to make it to where there's nothing left to come back to.
That's right, bro.
And I think that's what God's going to have to do in order to get this whole thing straightened out anyway, is that he's going to have to make it where there's nothing to come back to be comforted in other than him and him alone.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. I thank the Lord for what we heard this morning, and I know it's right in channel, right in line, in that right day. Amen. So we're going to believe God for everything that he's told us. Let's just pray for him. Tim gets a closing song for us. Amen. I know Brother Jason has asked this, but if you have needs, you just bow your heads, everyone, bow your hearts. If you have needs that you want to make known to the Lord, just lift your hand to him. Amen. Take this that we've talked about this morning, this enemy that you're putting in focus right now. Look at him. Size him up and determine in your mind what it is that you're going to have to do to make this happen. Hold that before your heart, before the Lord in prayer this morning. Lord Jesus, as we have heard your word this morning, Lord, we believe it to be a very timely message. Lord, something that we have need of. And Lord, we realize that we live in such a tremendous hour. As each day passes by, the situation is getting more serious, Lord, on this earth. And time is drawing nigh, and I know that, Lord, most of us, we'd like to be able to hear that things are going to be great and wonderful and peace and joy, and Lord, it is. That's what we want the people to know, that it is going to be a time of great peace and joy, just not in this world, but in you. And Lord, that your kingdom is what we need, not something in this world. Lord, as we hear this message this morning, we pray, God, that you would prepare our hearts to do battle with our enemies. Lord, that you would give us the anointing and the fortitude and all the things that we have need of, Lord, to go and meet our enemies head to head, Lord. And God, that with this word and with this message we've heard this morning, we'd be able to defeat him as you promised, Lord, that he's already defeated. I pray, God, that you would just anoint us, Lord, to get up out of our seat of do nothing, Lord, and go forth, Lord, with the determination that these promises that you've given belong to us, Lord. I believe that before we leave this world in a rapture and a body change, which is coming soon, I believe, Lord, that your people will walk out of here and go out in a rapture in total, complete victory. There won't be something that's amiss, Lord. We will have total, complete victory in our homes and in our lives and in our prayer life and in every part of our walk. I believe that, Lord. And so I ask, God, that you would hasten us to that day. Lord, let the world do what they have to do. But, Lord, your people that are called by your name, Lord, hasten them, Lord, to that day of perfection. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would cause this message is down inside to be fleshed out totally. We ask, Lord, that you bless each one as they go from this place today. Lord, help this desire in their heart to stay before them, focus. Help them not to lose focus of it, Lord, but let it be before them always, Lord, until they see the enemies destroyed. We thank you, Lord Jesus. I ask that you would be with us as we go forth. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's remember next Sunday morning service, and then after Sunday afternoon, we'll have communion service also. So let's just remember that. It'd be a good time. Hear what you heard this morning. Just take that and be like Jacob. Wrestle with the Lord. Amen. Brother Bram said he heard them people sing that song. I just like to talk it over with him. Once you do that, yet maybe it's been a while since you really, really talked it over with the Lord. Why don't you do that this week? Make it a daily practice. Set things aside. Say no. Order your own life. Order your own life to where you can have prayer with God. Go talk it over with Him. He's still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He will still give us victory. So go talk it over with Him. Tell Him what it's all about, and then listen. Amen. And let this sermon and these things that you talk to the Lord about prepare your heart. So next week when we have communion service, you'll be able to be here, and you'll be able to enjoy the blessings of the Lord. God bless you. Yes, Mr. Jesus.